This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Short show today. Get all your Hoffman Show while you can. We're only on until 6 o'clock. Got hoops for you coming up afterwards. And right now, though, it's a Friday. This part of the show is not getting cut. Glenn Yates is here. What up?
What's up, man? How are you? I'm good. I am, it's cold in Los Angeles today. Like, under 40 degrees at night, Gregory. Not like fake cold.
Okay, yeah.
Not like fake cold. All right, I'm wearing actual jackets and beanies, so just know that. Anyway.
Your body adjusts, too. Like, people used to always give me crap, and I would complain about it's cold. Did you go to Syracuse? I'm like, yeah, I was used to be 15 degrees when I was in Syracuse. By the way, I was raised in South Carolina, and I don't live in Syracuse anymore.
Yeah.
Thanks
it
for
sucked.
Asking.
It sucked then, too. You know what
You're
I mean?
Right.
Like, what are we doing? So
there are no misgivings about how terrible those winters were and the
Not
seasonal depression that came with them, where you stare at the ground. You ever walk backwards to class? Because I did.
Nobody likes that. And I don't wish that upon anyone either. You'd have proven nothing to me, tough guy, by living in the cold. Nobody.
No. I always like to joke with folks, my fellow Syracusians, that I don't think that's an actual word, but it is now, that I, in transferring there, had to do half the winters and got the same degree. So I win.
Smart man. Well played. Yeah.
I did. Also half the tuition, but that's a different story. So, Mr. Yates, we would like to talk, of course, currently Los Angeles's, but D.C.'s own Clinton Yates. You've been watching Alex Ovechkin his entire career. He is now on the verge of history, steamrolling towards doing it this season, steamrolling towards doing it like next week, the way he's playing right now. It's insane that he's doing this. Like Wayne Gretzky, if you think of the untouchable records in sports, you have like Jerry Rice's receiving records. You have anything Wayne Gretzky did. There's a couple of others along that. Cal Ripken's streak. You know, there are just this golden select few that are supposed to be untouchable. What do you make of the fact that Ovechkin's about to take one?
There's so much to this on multiple levels, Craig. The number one thing is that I think if you're in the mindset of a DC sports fan who's rooted for local teams your whole life, and you're the type of person that really enjoys the idea of our guy is the best, and we've got this one guy we can talk about that you don't have, you're never, ever going to get something like Ovechkin ever again if this happened in your life. Not once. People for generations going past will be discussing Alex Ovechkin and his play. And I think that in the modern sports world, where it's very much about trash-talking city to city, and my favorite player is better than your favorite player, it is so easy to take Alex for, like, you know, to take him for granted that now that he's at the record, I think we've literally lost track of how absolutely incredible this is. And if you go back and you look at those old highlights, Gregory, it's not just like he was some compiler. This dude was the most exciting player in hockey for a smooth decade. And you could argue with the Sidney Crosbys and the rings and all that. But I cannot believe that this is actually happening in my life and we're actually looking at it. And he's not limping to the finish line, Craig. He's out here banging people out with gray hair. There's an outside argument that this is the single greatest accomplishment in the history of DC sports. Never mind all of this other stuff with the NHL and hockey. And I just want people to understand that, because at its surface, hockey is kind of othered in DC. You know what I'm saying, Craig? We somewhat famously did an interview on the street before a Stanley Cup final game, and there's very much the hockey fans are hockey fans. This is something that every DC sports fan needs to be all on board for.
No, it's incredible. And it's funny because I pulled up his hockey reference page, and like there's been about two times in his career where it's like, okay, we're finally winding down here.
Yeah.
And then he just kicks it back into high gear. So in 2016, 2017, he has 33 goals that season, right? And this is someone who's scoring mostly 40, 50 goals a season. It's like, okay, we're finally seeing a downturn. Come back next year, drops 49. And you're like, oh, okay. A couple years go by, 49 in 2018, 51 in 2019, 1920, he's got 48. And then he drops off to 24, although that was, I guess, 2021, that was the COVID year. So
short
not really
season,
a drop off. And then even last or a couple years ago in 2022, 23, it's like, oh, 42, like that's still really good, but it's not the 50. And he's just this year steamrolled it back. Last year, you know, he's only got 31, but still, like, the fact that we're saying like only 31 goals, like that's a fantastic season. And like his ability to just keep doing it. And I think the thing that's been really interesting here, Clint, I don't know if this like made its way out to you in following this week, but there was kind of this, I think it's a total BS controversy. Like Darren Pang made a comment in a game while doing a breakdown that was basically like, you know, he was a one trick pony and now like Spencer Carberry has got him moving around more. And like, he didn't mean it in like one trick pony. I think that's how like your face right now is how people took it. But right. It was like, if you hear the audio and like understand the context of like, this is setting up a video piece in a game to show and give credit to how Ovechkin here in year 742 is scoring from different spots on the ice as opposed to just posting up in the office and blasting and he talks about how, like, you know, he was stubbornly great at that one thing, and it's the most dangerous weapon ever. But like, this dude has evolved late in his career. Like, that is a credit to him. And I just thought it was funny that a lot of DC people were like, "Oh my God, how offensive! He called him a one-trick pony."
Right.
And it's like, hey guys, quit looking to be so offended. Like, open up your ear balls. It'll be fine. But I just think, like, the way he has evolved, like, yes, he has been more of a goal scorer than a quote-unquote complete player like Crosby, and there's always going to be that debate amongst the hockey sickos. But, like, if the trick that you're best – one, he's not actually a one-trick pony. Two, the trick that he's best at is the most important thing in the sport, and I think we should celebrate that as opposed to fighting over whatever else people are fighting over this week.
The only tricks there are hat tricks, Gregory. What are we doing here? The last thing I'm going to do is worry about what, frankly, jealous Canadians think about a Russian who has been dominating the league with one skill that even though you know it's coming, you can't stop. Early in his career, Don Cherry used to talk all this trash about Alex Ovechkin, saying, blah, 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 he shouldn't be jumping around like that. Respect the game. Get out of here. This guy's been scoring goals at a time when goalies have big, bulky pads taking up 85% of the net. They actually know how to play the position. When Gretzky was playing, with all due respect to the NHL, remember when J.J. Redick said that Bill Russell was playing against post office guys and plumbers? Similar situation, dog. And I'm not trying to diss anybody, but it was just a different position. Guys played upright. They just didn't move as well. Getting shots on goal was easier. If you were that skilled, you were going to do it. The era for era comparison, Ovechkin has a harder road to hoe. And people always wanted to say, oh, well, he's never going to win the big one. Guess what? They won that too. There is a lot of inherent bias in this because of who he is and how he approached the game. He did not care about the decorum of all this other stuff. Again, he's Russian. Don't think that that bias doesn't leak into this somehow. And the fact that he plays in a so-called subpar hockey market, I think, made it easy for a lot of people to kind of diss him. But one of the things about this that I think about all the time is, can you imagine if Theodore had had his way and moved this team to Alexandria? People would have had to go to friggin' National Airport to see a statue of Ovi. This was like my main concern about moving the arena, is that the statue belongs at Gallery Place. It should be ready upon retirement for him. Forget the goal record to some degree. Forget the Stanley Cup to some degree. He's the single most important hockey player in this city's history. This record is literally a cherry on top, no pun intended, to Don Cherry, that you just cannot argue against. And I just feel that, like, I don't ever know if it's ever going to be correctly rated in the pantheon of things that has happened in DC sports. I hope it happens at home. I could selfishly wish that it happens out here against the Kings in a week so I could see it. But no, I don't want that. I want it to happen right there on the home ice, and I want people to go insane for an hour. I don't care who they're playing. You talk about non-broken records or records you never thought you were going to see broken. I think about this all the time. So glad and so lucky to not only been able to watch that guy, but root for that guy and have the task potentially completed while I was alive, while we were young, so to speak. Don't take this stuff for granted, guys. It's just too good. It's really incredible. I don't care what the rest of the hockey world says.
No, and again, I don't think that, like, it was meant to be an offensive comment, but I also, yeah. if you add all the context of what you just said, like, you get why people definitely took it that way. When you talk about the DC sports Mount Rushmore, if you will, or Pantheon, or whichever, yeah. however long you want to do it, like, is he the only guy that's inarguable on that list?
I think so, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, who else, at least in my lifetime, there's just nobody else. I mean,
because, right, like, if you think of the other franchises, right? Like, who's the best wizard of all time? Probably Wes Unseld. Like, and
no, he was a bullet. You know what I'm
wizard
saying?
Wizard bullet. But, like,
I know, but Gregory, there's a bit of a difference there.
If we're doing an all-time DC sports, you know,
yes, I see then, what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is that you actually do have to consider those two different things in a weird way. So it's obviously Wes in some way, but if you're thinking about just local legends, I mean, Wall is on the concept of the list in that you would probably retire his number if you hadn't run him out of town. You know what I'm saying? Because people
and they
actually
probably still
like
will
him.
Anyway. They should
exactly, but Ovechkin is inarguably the best player.
Right.
Like, not even close.
And how many other all-time top five in their sport players have we had in this city?
I mean, what, are we going to go all the way back to Big Train? You know, Walter Johnson? Like, I mean, that is from such a totally different era where they didn't even allow black people to friggin' play. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's the thing about it, is that if you really take it pound for pound, you can't really argue with him. There's an outside, you know, way to look at this to say that John Thompson is probably on that Mount Rushmore more than any player even belongs. I've said that before on this station and elsewhere. He's the most important black man in the history of DC sports, but he didn't play in DC. Sasha Ovechkin is just the likes of which we're never going to see again. And if I was a dad in DC, I'm a dad in LA now, the highlight tapes would be on loop. You would not stop watching Ovechkin highlights in my house. Couple different eras of the team, got the Stanley Cup. I'm so, so happy for him that this is actually happening. This guy can retire with a smile and walk away. He hung around to do it, and he's actually going to get it. Caps fans deserve it, no doubt about it.
And oh, by the way, they're good.
Right? They're not some slapdash squad where he's skating around doing extra shifts for no reason. Carbs has them boys moving.
Yeah.
It's one of the better stories in sports in the country right now that I think is being overlooked, but that's, you know, that's DC sports, kiddo.
If only there was a guy who had a national radio show.
We're getting there. We're getting there. I might talk about it on TV today. You have to tune in to find out.
Clinton and Friends. You can check it out mornings on ESPN Radio. Check it out in the ESPN app. And of course, we're coming. What are we going to do? Are we going to do something on this show for Around the Horn? The blessings?
Yeah.
We're coming down the final stretch here.
I don't have the emotion to do that right now.
Yeah, we're not going
to
do it right now.
That final week, I will have a lot to say because there are a lot of stories I can tell about sports journalism, Around the Horn, Eric Rideholm. Yeah. All of those productions that happen literally from the district,
yep.
I will certainly have a lot to say, Gregory.
All right, so we'll do that then. But yes. While you can watch Clinton on Around the Horn, do it. And that's coming up at 5 o'clock. All right, Clinton Yates, everybody, with us here for his weekly visit on The Hoffman Show. We got more for you next.
Well, good morning, DMV, and all those listening nationwide on the Always Free Odyssey app. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show right here on the Team 980, always streaming live nationally on that free Odyssey app. Lenoa Willingham, Denton Day, sitting in for our guy Kevin Sheehan. Number to call us as always, 301-230-0980. A lot to get to. Big night in the DMV last night. It was a winning night in the DMV last night. Caps with a victory. Terps with a big win on the road against Michigan State. And then the old Wizards are out at Capital One Arena in the Toilet Bowl is what a lot of people were calling it. Washington played host to the Utah Jazz. Both of those two teams fighting their way actually to get the number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft. We all know who is at the top of that. Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. Denton, there's a tweet I am going to share with you a little bit later on in the show. It is rare when I get juicy, hot information that I don't share it. I have been sitting on this for a week and a half, 2 weeks. The father of Dylan Harper, Ron Harper, very interesting comments via Twitter about the Wizards front office and maybe him not wanting Dylan to play here. So that is...
Oh, great news to Ron Harper and to Dylan Harper. Mm-hmm. We want Cooper Flagg anyway.
Yeah, we want Cooper Flagg.
So you can chill with all that. Yeah. We want the guy at Duke.
For sure. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. Obviously, big night last night. Caps ending their three-game slide, and it was honestly, Caps ended their on a two-game win streak now, they ended their three-game slide the other night against Ottawa, but last night was one of those nights where you're kind of on the edge of your seat watching this thing. We've seen many of overtime contests this year from the Washington Capitals. I always say it, they do their damnedest to get a point no matter what. Last night, Tom Wilson lighting the lamp in OT, but it was Alex Ovechkin that ultimately tied this game up, scoring goal number 885, 10 goals away from passing our guy Wayne Gretzky. That was John Walton on the call over on 106.7 The Fan. Alex Ovechkin sneaking one pass Igor Shesterkin to score goal number 885 of his career. Ovechkin now just 10 away from passing Wayne Gretzky for the NHL's all-time goal-scoring record. I believe they're showing the highlights on the TV next to us. It was to do it in Madison Square Garden, I think, is always awesome. I love how the national network's trying to pick up some of these Caps games now as Alex Ovechkin is chasing Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. I was listening a couple of weeks ago to Grant Danny over on The Fan, and they mentioned and were taking calls on the idea of, well, what is more exciting right now? The fact that Alex Ovechkin is about to break this record that a lot of folks thought would last the test of time, or the fact that the Caps right now, second most points right now in all of the NHL, and really look like a legitimate contender to win the Stanley Cup Finals? What is more exciting? Clearly, this chase for Alex Ovechkin. Like, obviously, it's the added cherry on top, so to speak, is that they're in contention, but... I mean, the fact that we're getting ready to bear witness to an all-time great record going down, I don't know where people would put the all-time goal-scoring record in terms of, like, the greatest records in professional sports. It's lasted for a really, really long time, and Alex Ovechkin, over the course of his career, been creeping up close to breaking this thing, and now we're just 9 away from tying and 10 away from the record as the Caps were able to knock off the Rangers last night by a score of 3-2. I know we were all probably, everybody in the studio was watching last night as Maryland went on the road to Michigan and picked up a big-time dub. I got nervous a little bit in that second half, and it felt like our guy Vlad Golden was kind of turning up and was going to make this his game.
Hold on, if I can stop you for a second. I do want to go back real quickly to something you said about the Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Before I say this,
mm-hmm.
for legal purposes,
oh God,
this is a joke.
Okay.
I would like to strangle whoever is taking these games away from the local crew.
Well,
Joe B
should be
the one that is on the call when Alex Ovechkin ultimately breaks the record. I don't know if it's going to be this year. Hopefully it is. It sure seems like it's going to be this year. Maybe it's early next season. That does not matter to me. What matters to me is that the guy that has been with Alex Ovechkin and the crew that has been with Alex Ovechkin for a majority, if not all of his career, should be the one that get to call the game that he breaks the record in. Now, I have been very, very upfront with this. If you want to do some sort of split where ESPN does get it, or ABC or Turner or whoever, but you also give us a local broadcast, a local feed of that, I'm perfectly okay with that. Because if somebody in Arizona wants to watch Alex Ovechkin
break it,
they should be able to do that. But the guys that have been with him for this entire career stretch and this entire goal-scoring stretch,
for sure,
they need to be the ones that are on this. Because they understand the gravity of this significantly more than I think most people do nationally. The national people understand the record. But Joe B and the crew on Monumental that was at one point on Comcast Sportsnet, they understand what Alex Ovechkin means to this city way more than anybody else does. They need to be the ones that get to call him breaking the record. So I have looked at like some of the scheduling changes, and I'm just sitting there praying. I'm like, don't break the record on these days.
Yeah.
Don't break the record when it's a national game. I want our crew, the guys that we've been listening to, the guys that really were the voice of my childhood as a Capitals fan, to be the one to call it.
So who ultimately makes this decision? Does this come from the commissioner of the NHL?
It's probably the NHL and the television networks. The television network's going to be like, hey, like these are going to do big numbers. We need big numbers. And I get that. The NHL, as a core four sport in this country, is the bottom of the totem pole.
And it's struggling to hold its spot as a
very
core four sport.
Because when
women's March Madness rolls around, people are going to be locked into that just as much as the NHL.
The way that Caitlin Clark took the league in the WNBA by storm, certainly. So I understand wanting to make this an event. And I do think that the NHL has done a very good job of making this run mean something, as it should. But I just have a very big issue with stripping the local audience away from this in favor of the national guys. I mean, you had a dude last night that called Ovechkin a one-trick pony. Like, I don't need to see a guy that's out here trying to, like, sneak diss Alex Ovechkin as he's about to break one of the craziest records of all time. And, by the way, he did it despite missing 16 games.
It was the color guy who said that?
It was Darren Pang. Now, if you missed this, if you weren't watching on Turner, guess who pulled the audio? I pulled the audio. The junkies pulled the audio, and I pulled it from them. but here's Darren Pang. This is last night before Alex Ovechkin scored that goal that we just played.
What did he mean by that? What was the context of it?
So he went on the junkies this morning to, this says, clarify. I say, backtrack. But he explained what he meant when he said one-trick pony. Back.
Gone! Because he's out of here. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Back. First of all,
it's his. We call it his office here locally because we're accustomed to him scoring from that spot. There's nothing wrong with that. You can use the analogy in basketball, saying Steph Curry's a one-trick pony because he shoots a bunch of three-pointers. Like, that's silly.
If you're going to call him a one-trick pony, fine. But it's still insane that he has scored all the goals from that one spot. Like, you would think that someone on defense or the goaltender would be like, I should probably not let him get to this spot or to score from this spot. It is also worth noting that Darren Pang was at one point a color commentator for a local market. And I believe the team he was a color commentator with was Arizona. I think they were the Coyotes at the time. Name changes, whatever. Do you know where one of Alex Ovechkin's most memorable goals came? I don't know if you were watching hockey back. This is like his rookie season, and you've seen the highlights, I'm sure, where he's racing down the ice. Deeks, he basically slips, is on his back, and then flips it behind him into the goal. It was against the team that he was the color commentator for. So, like, the idea of calling this dude a one-trick pony and then saying, well, actually, what I was trying to... No! You had to understand how silly that looks if you're going to do that.
He probably was facing backlash via social media. Kind of stunned that this has all happened so quickly. I honestly, shame on me for burying the lead of last night, clearly. Like, that is redonkulous those comments were even made.
It's insane to say out loud. And like that's where I get back to my point where I have never felt like the local guys do, as the kids say, glaze. Right? You know, when you're glazing somebody, it means you're giving them too much credit for what they're doing. At least that's the way that I envision the idea of glazing. I have never felt like Joe B, the national crew, the radio crew that we've heard, I've never felt like they have glazed Alex Ovechkin.
And if anyone should be allowed to, it should be them.
It should be them. Yeah. But my problem is, like, if you're going to put this on a national thing, like, you're going to have a guy, with all due respect to Darren Pang, he's been around the game of hockey longer than I've been alive. But you're going to have this guy who's always trying to get a dig in. He's trying to, well, yeah, he might break Alex, he might break Wayne Gretzky's record, but what about the other things that Wayne does good? Ovechkin's just a goal scorer. Like, if you're going to put it on the national audience, or the national broadcast crew, you got to make sure that they know you don't have to take a dunk on Alex Ovechkin. You don't have to try to cut him down as he's about to break this record. Because I felt like more than anything, that's what that was doing.
Mm. Strong take, my boy. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, people are going to hate. I think here locally we have an appreciation for Alex. I think most people, after he breaks the record, man, hell, even if he doesn't break the record this year, people are willing to call him, I don't want to say for certain, the greatest DC sports athlete ever, but damn, you get this record. I really think you've got a strong case for it.
He's the best one in either of our lifetimes.
Well, for sure. I think you would have to go back to, like, do people look at Wes Unseld and, like, lore because of the...
Well, probably Riggo and Daryl Green, which I guess Daryl Green was technically in our lifetime, but, like, not really in our lifetime. Right. There's a list of guys, but Alex Ovechkin is very much on the Mount Rushmore of Washington, D.C. sports. He got a championship for the first time at that time in well over, let me do math here, it was about 30 years. Or so, or close to 30 years. He's about to break one of the all-time great records across all sports, regardless of how you feel about hockey, scoring close to 900 goals. And if he plays next year, it'll definitely be 900 goals.
It's
insane.
Like, really is great to watch, man. We're lucky that we get to bear witness to it. I mentioned it was a really damn good night around the DMV last night. Wizards with a big win elsewhere on the hardwood. Michigan playing host to 13th-ranked Maryland. Terps have had some struggles off the bench since they scored their first bench point last night since February 20th. I thought Jordan Geronimo in his 16 minutes last night was absolutely awesome off the bench for this group. Only 4 points. He had a dunk that should have made SC top 10 as he postered somebody from Michigan last night. But his impact on the glass was huge. I thought... The big difference last night, obviously, though, was Shelton Miguel. He made some big-time shots. Jacoby Gillespie, after going 0-for-6 in that first half, knocked down a couple of big trays in the second half. And it was a really good effort from the Terps. Michigan's a group that likes to get up and down. And I thought in the first half, Michigan was able to have their way a little bit in transition. But then you saw that 2-3 matchup zone that Kevin Willard has deployed. It's given teams hell. I think it's going to give teams hell in the tournament. The one thing that I worry about with Maryland, and I guess as we get into the NCAA tournament, my fear will die down a little bit because of how long the damn timeouts are in the NCAA tournament. When you don't have any bench production, it's kind of tough. But in the tournament, with all of the long timeouts that you're going to have, I expect to see Rodney Rice and Jacoby Gillespie and DQ playing close to 40 minutes a night. I mean, like, that's probably the effort that it's going to take. I think, and Denton, I know you and Kevin have mentioned this. I'm on the bandwagon officially. It looks like a group that has all of the makings to make a deep run in the month of March. By the way, 2 weeks away from the start of the NCAA tournament. So we are creeping up on one of my favorite times of the year. But when you think about the three-point shooting, their inability to score inside and out, and then the defense ultimately is what I think is going to be what takes them over the hump. Do you look at this as a legitimate Elite Eight team? Because that's where I think – I don't want to cap them off and even say there's a ceiling on them, because their starting five can go with anybody in the country.
Yeah, the depth of their starting five I think is what separates them from most teams, but you have to get more production. Like, I think Jordan Geronimo, he played – 16 minutes last night. He had 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only bench scoring.
That was the first bench scoring since February 20th.
And I'm of the belief where you need to have seven. Like in the NCAA tournament, unless you are decimating opponents, you're not rolling 10 deep. Like you cut the rotation down to 7. The problem is right now Maryland has 6. And I really thought that Deshaun Harris Smith was going to be a dude. And
he's made some big shots throughout the year. It hasn't worked.
Yeah, I watched him at PVI his senior year, and he was light years ahead of everybody on the court. And by the way, like he's playing at PVI, one of the best schools in the country. He's light years away. Like I watched him against DeMatha. It was the game where they got a lick on DeMatha. Like they beat him pretty handily. But it felt like he was always 2 steps ahead of everybody. So I'm a little bummed that he hasn't made that transition as smoothly. I do hope that he stays at Maryland. I think next year could be the year where he makes that jump. Or he makes that jump in 2 weeks, right? Because you need that 7th guy. Like Gillespie played 39 of the 40 minutes last night, and if you're gonna go with that approach, I don't want you deep in the Big Ten tournament because then you're just putting minutes and minutes and miles on these guys' legs. If it's gonna come down to that, I think Maryland with the win last night pretty much solidified themselves as a 4 seed. You know, I don't know. Maybe if they win the Big Ten tournament, it would jump them up to the 3 line, but it feels like a 4 seed is where they're going to end up being. And if that's the case, you know, go hard in the Big Ten tournament.
In the Big Ten tournament, top 2 teams get the double bar, or is it just the first seed, the first team? Because right now it looks like they could be the 2 seed in the Big Ten. I was looking at our old bracket buster, Joe Lenardi, and he had Terps as a 5 seed right now. I think you're right. A run in a super competitive conference tournament could boost you up a seed or 2. But like you said, they're going to need somebody off the bench. And you're right. If someone's going to come off the bench and become a hero, heroes are made in the month of March. So I'm ready for whoever is going to be off of this Terps bench to get going here. Because that, like you said, is really the difference to me.
So it looks like 4 teams get the double bye. Yeah, this is the first year with all those Pac-12 teams.
Okay, right.
And so you get more teams in there. So that means Maryland wouldn't play, which they right now are the 4 seed in the Big Ten, at least as of the article that I'm looking at, which was published yesterday. All right, so they probably jumped up to the 3 seed potentially with a win over Michigan, but they're in that top 4, and I think the discrepancy between them and like a Wisconsin is far enough to where as long as they don't get destroyed by Northwestern, they'll be that. But they're not going to be playing until March 14th. So they have this game this Saturday, and then they get 6 days off before they play again, which should be enough rest to then go, you know, 6 deep if you need to. But if you get, you know, let's just say that game, semis, finals, that's 3 games, and then you got to go win 6 in a row, that's a pretty tall task to ask. Tall task to ask of just 6 guys, potentially.
Tall task, it is. And I look at the style of ball that they play, too. You need a guard or 2 off the bench. Jordan, I trust. I know he is going to be able to spell DQ and Juju when needed. But, like, there's got to be a guard off the bench that gives you something. Because you know what I think when I think those 6 days, Denton? If I'm Coach Kevin Willen, I'm getting in the lab, and I'm working on my full court presses. Because I think they show some 3-quarter court stuff. I think in the tournaments where you really get deep in your bag and you pull out some more stuff, you go your diamond presses, your 2-2-1s, you do whatever you can. But when you're playing your starters at the guard spot, this high volume of minutes, maybe it deters them from pressing because you know that's how you get tired.
Right, that's how you get tired. Did you so you watched the final stretch?
Yes.
Did you notice the really good player on Michigan that shot a 3 like he was a member of the band? Oh, my God. I think it was Danny Wolf, and I saw him shoot that. I was like,
well, he was cooking. Danny Wolf hit a key.
He was cooking. He had 2 of 3. He was 2 of 3 from deep, but that final 3 shot that he put, I was like, that's not real. No way he shot that.
Even the 3 that Burnett made from the corner in the second half felt like it was. I think it was the 3 that cut it to, I think, like, cut it to 4. They battled. I thought Danny Wolf went crazy to start the second half. He had like 10 of – he had the first 10 points of the second half. It felt like – for Maryland, I heard you were talking about it before we started the show. I was kind of disappointed in the way the front court played against Michigan State. Granted, Michigan State's a really big physical front court. You could say the same about Michigan. Vlad Goldin took him a little bit, but he got going. Is there a position on the floor that you kind of worry about for them entering the tournament?
It would be the front court, but tongue-in-cheek, it would be the officiating. So, like,
well, that's the thing about the tournament, too.
Exactly. Hear me out on this. I don't just want to be the guy that's already blaming officials. But Big Ten officials officiate different than SEC officials, who official different than Big 12 officials. Right. And usually in the tournament, you get like a mixed bag of
that, crews. That could be really interesting.
And yeah. If you want to play inside out through Derek Queen, if you look at, just pull up his game log, he had 11 free throws last night against Michigan. He had 8 against Penn State, 9 against Michigan State, but then 3 against USC. So, like, my big fear is the discrepancy, because if you're playing inside out, what you're expecting is, more often than not, is that you're going to get some foul calls down there, and you're going to send a guy to the free throw line that is really comfortable in that position the same way Derek Queen is. So I do worry potentially about them trying to play inside out, and then the officials essentially, because we've seen this, Maryland fans know, anytime they match up against like a Bob Huggins WVU team, it was a WWE match more than it was. Like you are throwing punches and haymakers. So I do worry a little bit about that if you're going to look at going inside out, because I do believe that generally speaking, if you rely too much on the three in the NCAA tournament, you're going to lose. That's why I don't think Bama's going to be all that spectacular, because they are a live and die by the three kind of team. Thankfully, Maryland is not. But if you happen to run up on a night where you're not getting foul calls and the threes aren't falling, you get what you have against Michigan State, which was in it late, but you knew Maryland didn't deserve to win that one.
Well, yeah, they were. I mean, it was a rock fight offensively for most of that one. It was a rock fight last night in the first half. But that's the style of ball Terps are comfortable playing. I love the way that they compete on the defensive end. And I think the depth that they have, the scoring that they have in terms of the starting five with really 4 out of the 5 capable for going for 20 at any given moment. I think it's a good formula to have, and they should be really, really tough out in the NCAA tournament. First segment in the books here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Lynnell Willingham, Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin. Our guy Jason Locken, for Odyssey NFL Insider, writes for the Washington Post as well. Going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour. When we get back, though, let's get into some NFL. Free agency starts next week? Next week, free agency starts. And there were a flurry of cuts around the NFL yesterday. A couple of wide receivers being released, a couple of defensive ends being released. As we creep up on the start of free agency, what position should the Commanders most aggressively pursue in free agency? I'll give you my thoughts on that next. This is Team 980.
The Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team today. Joining us at 8:25 will be Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals. But right now it's time for EB's entertainment page. He's going to entertain you.
All right, hold on, Cakes. I'm multitasking here.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment page driven by BMW Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for my girl Miriam. She's the top dog over there, the new GM. Or you can check him out at BMWFairfax.com. They will hook you up, I promise. All right, hold on. Sorry, my wife is texting me. They're about to leave to go to the ceremony. Got to bring in my mom. Got to find the wheelchair.
She's telling you to get a cheaper flight to Atlanta.
I can't even find my flight to Fort Myers. Trying to figure out when I'm going to play golf. Cakes.
Mm-hmm.
We got important stuff going on here.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on.
Hold on, let me just do this one thing. I got to put in. I just hold on one second. I got to put in this validation code.
Well, this is entertainment related. While you do this, I watched the finale of Paradise, and I'll give nothing away.
Okay,
excellent show. I was thinking about this. There hasn't been a show for me that I've looked forward to more than Paradise week in and week out. And that includes White Lotus was good. Maybe Succession.
Right.
I really loved Succession, but Paradise was on Hulu. I think I've only watched one other show ever on Hulu. Really, really good political thriller, murder, whodunit sort of thing.
Haven't seen one episode it's of good. Paradise.
I think if you watch the first one, you'd get hooked. Cakes is still waiting for his daughter to watch.
I'm through 3 episodes. Okay. We're progressing. We're not to the end yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah. I think it's really good. And Sterling K. Brown's an excellent actor. He's won an Emmy, I believe. I don't know if he's been nominated for an Academy Award, but he's really, really good.
All right, so I just want to get back to the Gene Hackman thing.
Hey, what's the latest on that?
So here's the latest. So I guess they've ruled out the carbon monoxide theory, which the boys had, which most people had, which I thought was a good theory. But I guess there's been no sign of that. I'm telling you, I think they might be leaning towards good old EB's Now, it wasn't necessarily like an assisted suicide thing,
yeah,
but a similar vein. He may, there's a theory, he may have just collapsed. He was 95, 96, whatever he had,
okay,
heart disease or whatever. And she just was distressed that, you know, they were like, they didn't, the neighbors never saw them.
Right.
They're like
Jason, they're hermits. They never hermits. Left the house.
They were just in the house.
He walks his dog every day.
Okay. No, but
it's the only
like,
time you'll see me.
No, but they were like kind of by themselves.
Yeah.
Family didn't talk to them a lot. And their theory could be, it's not necessarily the prevailing theory, but one theory is, because also they found a bottle of pills,
mm-hmm,
you know, like strewn about. So he falls, donks off, she's distraught.
She's panicking.
The love of his life.
Yep.
And she says, well, there's no reason for me to live. He was just, the reason for me to live and mm-hmm, just
ODs.
Takes the pills and that's it. And then the dog dies because I guess they say your dog can't go several days without water. Right? The dog had no...
Well, although there was two other dogs that did survive.
Somehow.
Yeah. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way it happened.
I kind of... By the way, if it comes out that way, I feel like I get a dub on that.
Why? What did you...
That's that kind of
thing. No, because you called it foul. You called it foul play.
Well, no, I said like murder-suicide type of thing. And it wasn't a murder.
Right.
I think he could have fallen.
By the way, shouldn't the person who's 30 years senior of the other person... Shouldn't you have the sit down like, hey, when I die before you, which is going to happen if you're 95 and she's 65, like you have to tell the 65-year-old, even if you're distraught, don't kill yourself because I die. You still have 25 or 30 good years of life left in front of you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, but if the other person
don't
is
you
just,
have that convo at yeah, some
but,
point?
Yeah, but if the other person is just so in love with them, like Amy, she might donk herself off. If you donked off, she might just donk herself off.
No.
She loves you so much.
No. She wouldn't do that. She would continue
to live.
You're
the love of her life.
Agreed.
Yeah, but they got three
and
kids.
And vice versa.
All right, what if they didn't have kids?
I wouldn't want her to...
They didn't have kids.
Would Amy do that?
Donk herself off?
No, there's no chance. I would.
He feels uncomfortable talking about it.
No, I'm fine to talk about it. But I wouldn't want Amy to kill herself if
doesn't
her
matter.
Knight in shining armor just died.
I know. But that's the point, that her knight in shining armor donked off.
But I have
there's no
told,
reason to live.
I have told her. We've told each other. I have told her. If I die, I say, I don't want you to be with anyone else. I don't get sized.
Oh, you said
and
that?
And we both said it to each other.
No way.
Yes.
You want her to be celibate?
No, I just don't want...
That's what you mean.
Basically, yeah.
You want no... She gets no more...
Basically, we've said that to each other.
Really?
Yeah.
So hold on. If Amy dies tragically in like a car accident,
you guys have talked about
you
that.
You get no skins.
I'm not. Now it's getting weird. But we've like we.
Wow.
I don't know how we came on that conversation, but we talked
because
about,
you're fascinated by death. I'm guessing
probably,
you brought it up.
I probably brought it up because I'm morbid.
Right? Because he's autistic.
And
right?
I tell you, there is something there.
We've definitely had that conversation.
All right. So you,
bro, I want her
so
to
you,
keep living.
You have vowed.
I don't want her to get sized or anybody else. Is the type of deal. I'm selfish. We're selfish.
It's a very intimate thing you've revealed.
That's sometimes
right, are
what
you saying
do?
Like she can't date anyone or she can't like bang anyone because there's a big difference.
He doesn't want either.
I don't. I mean, look.
Listen.
If you bang somebody,
is she going to date and not bang?
Yeah, I mean,
who's doing
I don't
that
know.
In their 50s?
Well, I mean, the different type of intimacy, right?
You want her to be emotionally attached
yeah, exactly.
to someone else?
I'm more concerned with the physical.
The banging.
The physical intimacy.
I think it's more likely.
Intimacy,
by the way.
Whatever.
I think it's more likely that the woman does that than the male. Like, EB's father passed away 18,
right.
19 years ago.
Right.
My father passed away.
Right.
18 years ago, and our moms just went about their lives with
yeah,
not
my
another
mom
man.
Was still a little bit sized. She would have been sized to. She actually had like some online. She would have been
sized. She dated.
Kind of, she wanted to meet people. Like she didn't want to be lonely.
Oh, I think it's
a revelation.
Don't want to be lonely.
Yeah, you don't want to be lonely.
I think
but
our conversation is more like I wouldn't want her to be married to somebody else. Like if she's gonna go like
what a fling, one night stand.
Yeah,
I mean like, look. Everybody has needs.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
Like a full committed relationship, I don't get sized.
But you're
personally.
Dead. Who cares?
I'd be looking down from
you ain't looking
she,
down
she would be haunting them.
Hopefully you're not looking up.
I don't know where I'm going to be looking from, but I'll have eyes on the situation.
It's a really funny conversation,
yeah.
Cakes.
Yeah, we've had that combo.
All right, good for you.
I have not had that combo.
Yeah.
hasn't not come
even,
up yet.
Not even close.
All right, you got to get the song, Valdez. Bad Baby is in the news.
Oh, no.
Of course, she's made something like, what, 50, 60, 70, $80 million, something like that off of OnlyFans.
The only thing I know about her recently, and I don't know if this is what the story is, yeah. Doesn't she, and I'm ashamed to know, to admit that I know this, isn't she in some sort of feud with Travis Barker's daughter,
Alabama Barker? Yeah, she released a fire diss track.
A diss against track
her.
Against Alabama Barker. Yeah, I don't know much about it.
I just saw
that's a thing.
Shannon Mochler respond to it.
Okay,
but I didn't see the original diss. But yeah, this is the song.
These Hoes.
What is it called?
These hoes. I ain't like these hoes.
Don't compare me to no one. Telling you, not a bad song. Do you think this has?
I don't know.
Too many.
But her diss track, everyone's saying it's fire.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You should listen to it.
I want to listen to it. Well, the reason why she's in the news is her baby daddy and her on and off boyfriend is apparently recovering from a shooting incident that started, shocker, at an LA strip club. He was shot early Wednesday morning while he was inside Sam's Hofbräu. Is that how you say it?
Some sort of near, German spot from the sound of it.
Near downtown L.A.
Yeah.
Two groups of guys got in an altercation. They should have done the old school, just punch each other.
That's what Drab would advocate.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they should have done.
Hit each other with a frying pan or something. Just don't resort to the
Did you know
guns.
She had a baby?
Yeah, I think I did.
Bad Baby has a baby.
I think Bad Baby has a baby.
Imagine her as a parent.
Bad grandbaby.
Yeah, but she probably has all the
probably has
nannies,
100 nannies
and everything. Yeah. She's got 100 Ferraris. Cakes, were you a Happy Gilmore guy? I never really was.
Happy Gilmore is fine. I haven't watched it more than once or twice in my life. I'm not going to digest.
Happy Gilmore 2.
Happy Gilmore 2. It's coming out. They've got the release date, July 25th on Netflix.
On Full Swing, they were. They got cameras out there when they were showing the footage of Happy Gilmore 2 being filmed on the golf course with all the big-time golfers,
gotcha.
Scheffler and Rory and all those guys around. How many episodes have you watched? I've only watched two.
Yeah.
Hey, boys, we need to make a pivot. A big pivot.
What happened?
Guess who's on the line with us?
No
Darren
idea.
Darren Pang, who a lot of Capitals fans are upset with.
I told you we should get him on the show.
It's quite a booking.
Because Darren Pang, who called the game last night before Ovi called.
Well, hold on. Can you tell us how we scored, got him? Did you book him, Drabby? Did you reach out and he decided he wanted to come on?
That's neither here nor there. He's on the line. He's at the airport.
I want to know why he's here.
Okay, you can get that behind the scenes.
I was texting with him.
So he's on
very graciously coming on. He's going to explain the comments.
He's on the rude guest hotline.
He's about to get on a plane.
It's Darren Pang.
Panger, what's going on?
Absolutely, boys. Always ready to discuss something that was said in the game for sure. I didn't hear anything about it until just this morning. So I got that note. And Matt, thanks for reaching out. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I always like clarifying things. I mean, the game moves very fast, and I'm not sure exactly when someone thought that I said one trick pony. But I will say this: that we did a clip early in the game, and I asked our producers there at TNT and Kevin Brown, and I said, "Hey, fellas, why don't you put together a clip? And if people can watch this, because it was very early in the game, I said of Ovi scoring in different areas of the ice." He said, that's a great idea. And then we backed it up with, we didn't actually show it last time, but we backed it up with where he scored goals this year. And I said, let's do that clip of him scoring in the slot, him scoring in front of the net, him scoring from his office, the one-timer that he scored a beautiful shot against Edmonton that I did. We did that game as well. And then another one, a scramble in front of the net. And the point was that he's not a one-trick pony, that I gave him a lot of credit for being flexible, that the coaching staff has convinced him to go to other areas of the ice. And look where he's scoring goals from. So often in the past, just to clarify, we a lot of us analysts or everybody else talked about Ovi as just going to that one side, the hash marks, and in his office, and then setting up the one-timer. And often he was referred to, that's a one-trick pony, one guy that he gets the puck there and he fires it and he scores goals. But what I was alluding to last night was how impressed I was with how flexible he's been, and that he's not scoring from that same area all the time. So, anyway, I'm not sure if that even clarifies.
So, was this kind of taken the wrong way? That's what you're saying.
I believe it absolutely was, 100%.
Okay, and, well, we have the audio. If you want to hear the audio, we have it queued up.
I would love to hear it.
Sure.
All right, here it is.
If I got tongue-tied, that'd be great. Thanks.
Well, I give Spencer Carver and his coaching staff an awful lot of credit. We all know that Alex Ovechkin's been a bit of a one-trick pony throughout his NHL career, but that has not been the case. And there's the normal spot. We saw that here on TNT.
All right, so you did follow up by saying that has not been the case. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, because we get a lot of information talking to coaches, and you know, they without Backstrom and without Oshie, you know, and without Kuznetsov, where they had that one, they had that set play, and it was stubbornly great, that play on the power play. But times have changed, and I think that's why I gave Spencer credit. Like, it's not easy to tell a legendary player that we're not going to have you in that same spot every single time, and we're going to have you moving around. We're going to have to be a little bit more unpredictable, and that was exactly the point I was making. So that he wasn't a one-trick pony, that he's done a great job of moving around the ice, and I think Caps fans, if they don't see that he's scoring goals from a lot of different areas, like, I don't know what they're watching, because he's clearly, you know, moving around the ice a lot more. I mean, I saw him score a goal from the middle of the ice. I saw him score a goal from the right side. I saw him score many goals from the slot, which I didn't see a whole lot of those goals from that area before. So, anyway,
well, here's one take I'll give you, or Darren, and it's that just, I understand what you're saying, that, you know, a preponderance of his goals comes from his office. Like, we all get that.
Yep.
But the other aspects of this game, I felt like, are diminished when you use a phrase like one trick pony, because the guy has been just crushing guys against the boards for 20 years. He's in top five. That's got nothing to do with goal scoring. I wish you had clarified it, maybe. And I know you're in the heat of the moment. You're broadcasting. I'm not giving you that much a hard time. But I'm just saying, as a defensive fan of the home team icon, I'm listening to that and I'm going, dude, this guy's not a one-trick pony. First of all, he's been scoring all different ways, especially this year. But then also the assists, the way he checks guys, and the intensity and the way he's played. Hell, when Dale Hunter was here, he was laying down on the ground taking shots. So that's why I think some people were a little irritated.
Right, right. One-trick pony meaning where he goes to the office and scores goals. No, I've always marveled that he finishes his checks. He was 240 pounds. Even last night, things weren't going well for him offensively. He wasn't getting many chances, and then he came, was close to me, finished his check, and he kind of got going again. And Rangers did a great job of smothering him on the power play, so he had no chances there. And then bang, he goes in and scores on a close play.
Right.
Listen, anybody that's listened to me talk about Ovi all these years, like I speak glowingly about Ovi. He's always given me the time of day. I got a high regard for him. Somebody made a comment about Gretzky didn't have 3-on-3. The goal scoring's changed. I mean, let's face it. I mean, if people don't see that, then that's okay with me. But I mean, I didn't grow up in an era where you get you're on the power play and you get an offensive zone faceoff and you can pick either side, or 3-on-3, or no red line. Those are just the facts of the game. But the game also changed from Gordie Howe to Wayne Gretzky now to Ovi. So,
right.
No, anyway, that's.
All right, appreciate you coming on. Yeah,
thanks for calling. Thanks for calling us.
It is my pleasure. You guys have a great morning.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Darren. Now I feel bad for
fucking all right, so
call your public enemy number
one
on Twitter.
Can you give me the background?
But I'm not taking it down.
The way that he said it is the way that I took it, and I think Jason took it that way, but some people were so triggered
by the phrase.
The context
was... But then he
did
follow up by saying, but that's not the case.
And I said this a few times earlier. The context was they had a video package, and the video package was showing him scoring in different spots.
Understood, but even just... I took it even just as being a one-trick pony, like a guy that scores goals, does nothing else.
They were showing again.
I understand.
You
got to
be watching the game and watching what they're showing.
No, I heard you, and I understood it from the beginning.
I know, but were you watching it?
It doesn't matter. I understand what you're saying. It doesn't matter. I understand.
You're just triggered.
It was an unfortunate choice of words.
Yeah, when you say one-trick pony.
There's an underlying insinuation.
Yes.
It's bigger than the B-roll you're showing.
The B-roll is about the goal scoring. It was the context of what he was talking about at the time.
I understand, but I don't think there's any scenario where you could call him a one-trick pony.
He didn't frame it right.
Maybe he was that's what it was. He just came across.
If you're
going
to say it,
way.
Then you have to say he's a one-trick pony in the way he scores goals. That's the perception. But he didn't say that. He said everybody knows he's kind of a one-trick pony.
He's a bit of a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
But he said that, but that's not the case. Right. So maybe he's saying that's what the reputation is around the league.
I understand. That's what he was trying to say.
Maybe he's disagreeing with the reputation.
I understand what he was trying to say.
It just came across.
And he was in the flow of the game, and it came out, and then he kind of had to follow up from what he said.
Yeah.
When he says one-trick pony, he just can't take it back at that point, and then he's just
going to be more specific.
Is he still public enemy number one in your eyes? Or did he clarify it a little bit?
Maybe dropped
for you?
A little bit, but
he's a stand-up guy. He's a stand-up guy. Yeah. Like that was nice.
He definitely gets points for that. He should have said, "I'm sorry." He should have offered an apology.
He had a little bit of almost shaky voice. Like I think he was, you know,
I think he was just surprised that
it sounds like he doesn't know. Like if he goes on Twitter today and puts his name in a search or one trick pony, there's going to be a billion mentions. Like he doesn't know the firestorm that he created.
Can you please tell me how this came about? It's important to me, and obviously there's a story because you guys are laughing. What is the story?
I'm laughing that you're dying to know the story.
Yeah, what's the story? So you just simply texted him and said, hey.
Darren's been on the show before, I think a few years ago.
Okay, and so you had his number.
No, I didn't have his number, but I know how I got him on the show, and I reached out to an old connection who emailed me back and said, hey, he no longer works for us, but feel free to text him.
Here's and then
number.
You texted him.
And he said no problem.
Right back to you.
Yeah, a minute later.
Stand up.
Stand-up guy. We appreciate him doing
well
that.
Well done, Drabby.
Darren Pang, good guy.
Yep.
He's an okay guy. Hey, he's a stand-up
guy. He's a stand-up guy. Good guy makes good points.
But I'm going
to
say...
Did you ask him to come on the Altcast?
We should.
Missed opportunity.
Book him for Friday night.
That's tomorrow.
Third period.
We're slow playing that. It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Altcast, tomorrow.
That's correct. Caps are taking on the Red Wings. We're going to talk to one of those Caps players when we come back. Nick Dowd will join us at 8:25 here on The Fan.
I can't confirm or deny if Tariq El-Bashir requested this to be his walk-up song, but it sounds like a TEB classic. Tariq, what up, man? How are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, brother.
Thank you for making time. I know this is a busy day for you, dude.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem.
Get us up to speed. It seems like the Caps have already made a trade. Who'd they get? What'd they give up? What does it do to help the team?
Yeah, so a little bit ago, the Capitals traded for a winger from the Pittsburgh Penguins named Anthony Beauvillier.
Beauvillier.
He's been skating on the second line with the Penguins. He has also played with Sidney Crosby on the first line with the Penguins. So, good player. He's got 13 goals. Can be hard to play with. He's had some success in the playoffs. The Capitals gave up a second-round pick this year for him. The Capitals went into the deadline with 2 second-rounders. They gave up their second-rounder. And if things go according to plan, that's going to be the worst of their 2 second-rounders. The other one's from Boston. So if the Capitals finish where we think they're going to finish here in the next 20 games, that's going to be, it could be the 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd pick. It could be a late pick. So it feels like a steep price, but so far, guys, it feels like this has been a seller's market to this point. You look at some of the trades that have been happening around the league, and people are paying premium prices to get help here at the deadline. We've still got a few hours left. I just left the morning skate. It's, 12:04? So we got until 3 o'clock, so 3 more hours. Something tells me the Capitals are not done, so stay tuned.
All right.
I love that.
What are you expecting them to do more?
Yeah, like, what is their need? They're so damn good.
Yeah, I would say they don't have a glaring need. That said, teams that have expectations of going deep into the playoffs, we know that injuries happen. And you kind of want to bulletproof yourself against areas where, okay, well, if we lose that guy, do we have anyone in the organization who can fill that role? And remember, they waived Jacob Vrana yesterday. He is now with Nashville. He is reunited with Barry Trotz. And Sonny Milano, we found out today, he hasn't been skating all week with the team. We aren't sure what his status is. There's supposed to be an update on him. So, in the span of a week, they lost 2 NHL forwards. So, they just brought one in. And it feels like they probably need one more. Again, there's no glaring holes with the team that's, second place in the league in points. I would say you're probably going to be looking at another middle six forward, potentially a center, who could provide some competition for Lars Eller. Remember, but you can also always put Connor McMichael at third line center and just put Beauvillier on the wing where McMichael was and call it a day. I mean, goaltending, they're set. They play the same six Ds all season. Like, maybe you want a little depth at D. You want a guy who's got some playoff track record to bring in as your seventh. Remember last year in the playoffs, you know, they were unceremoniously dismissed in four games by the Rangers. I mean, Lucas Johansson was playing at one point because of injuries. You can't have that again.
Right. They were calling dudes up from Hershey.
Yeah. Johansson was one of them. So maybe that's. Maybe that's something. Yeah, and then, you know, Iorio also came up and got injured. So you want to avoid that from happening. But something tells me the focus right now is going to be on potentially getting another forward. But I do think they've got the cap space. They got a team that they believe in, and they want to make sure that team has all of the tools it needs to make a long run. And you know, it's a fine line you're walking, JP. You asked a great question. I mean, when you're good, you don't want to disrupt that chemistry, right? So there have been times in the past, I've covered this team for 20 years now, where they've done too much at the deadline. You're like, oh, that feels like a lot. And then sure enough, there's veterans getting sat out. There's guys who aren't happy. There's, you know, it can become a problem. So you're always trying to walk that fine line of upgrading your team without doing something that could upset the chemistry, which this team so clearly has.
Yeah, it's remarkable. You mentioned how long you've been covering this team and how I don't think people realize how well you are interwoven into the Capitals world. Like, you know, I really enjoyed getting to cover the playoff run last year, as short as that was, but getting to see it closer to the inside. Being there for NBC4 and seeing just how wired in you are on all of it.
Appreciate you, JP.
Well, dude, I mean it. But with the way this organization, I also appreciate you getting off the Redskins beat, because that gave me my first job on the Skins beat.
That's funny.
But seriously, with this organization, the way they've, last year it looked like this thing was going to fall apart, and they had the hot run at the end to get into the playoffs. And so the conversation was like, oh, man, they're just going to do enough to let Ovi break the record. Then they're going to have to tear it all down. The opposite has happened. They've been able to build around Ovi and be not just competitive, but great. How impressed and surprised and how difficult is what they've done to do?
Yeah, it's incredibly hard. You know, as Brian McClellan, who's now president but was general manager last year, as he has said a number of times, I mean, you know, they were attempting to thread a needle. I mean, it really is difficult to rebuild a team on the fly. You have to be aggressive. You have to have conviction with the moves you're going to make. And then you have to have a coaching staff that is good enough to integrate the new players and find their, define their roles and help them find their roles within a team and do it quickly. Because remember, this team brought in seven new players, guys. I mean, that's a third of an NHL roster.
Wow.
And, you know, there's always turnover every year. Every team turns over a handful of players. But seven, a third of your roster, that's a lot. And everyone came in. The leadership group made everyone feel at home and wanted right away. The coaches knew, you know, where the players' buttons were and when to press them. And, I mean, I think even if you were to ask the front office and go, hey, has this gone a little better than you expected, they would probably give you a sheepish grin and go, yeah, it actually has worked out a little bit better than we thought. We were hopeful. We were hopeful that this is, that we were building a good team. We're a little surprised that, you know, we're battling Winnipeg for first place in the entire NHL.
Right.
But, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Spencer Carberry and his group. I mean, they proved last year by getting a so-so team with a minus 37 goal differential into the playoffs that they know what they're doing. And they gave them better hockey players.
Right.
And what you have seen is a team that, you know, for long stretches this season has been the class of the NHL.
What is it about Spencer that you think that makes this team so good? And what does he do to make them basically respond to exactly what he's trying to teach?
Yeah, great question, B. Mitch. I mean, you know, he's a great communicator first and foremost. And you see that at the podium every day. And look, the way coaches deal with the media is totally different than the way they deal with players. But I can tell you this as someone who's covered pro sports for, you know, more than two decades, if you count my time covering the NFL, the coaches that handle the media best are typically the ones who handle everything else the best.
Yeah.
They just know how and what to say. And it starts for me with Spencer, with being able to communicate with his players what he wants, what the standard is, what is unacceptable, what we're trying to do here. And he's got a great staff, too. The guys around him. I mean, you know, I have covered Capitals teams where the coaches were, you know, on the same page mostly, but there was maybe a little bit of friction there. You could just tell it didn't feel like a well-oiled machine at the coaching level. These guys have a great time with each other. You know, I'm talking about Kirk Muller and Mitch Love and Scotty Allen and Scott Murray. I mean, you can just see, like, behind the scenes. And, you know, when you do what I do now, I'm a little more behind the scenes than I have been. Like, they love coming to the rink. They love solving problems. They love trying to get players to do what they're trying to do. Like, they are just passionate about it, and that filters down. I mean, all of us have worked. You know, I don't care if it's for a radio station, a TV station, or an NFL team. It trickles down from the top. When the people at the top have their stuff together, it just makes everyone else's job that much easier, and everyone that much more focused. And it really does start with, you know, the front office that identified the right players in the offseason, and then the next layer down would be the coaches who, again, just got everyone to start pulling on the proverbial rope at the same time with the same amount of force. And what you got is a team that's heading into the playoffs in pretty good shape.
It's funny hearing you say this and knowing, you know, how much time you spent in Ashburn, how much time we've both spent in Ashburn. And when you say it starts at the top and then the entire organization starts going the right way, like, in a way, we've taken it for granted how well the Caps have been run for a while. And, you know, getting that cup validates a lot of that, because there were a lot of painful playoff losses along the way. But it feels the same way in Ashburn now, and the way you handle the media is kind of the outward appearance of how a team operates internally. And Carberry really is fantastic. I mean, he's the kind of dude that seems like, maybe not by next year in Milan, but 4 years from now when there's another Olympic team, I feel like I could see Carberry being a national team coach.
I don't know. You know, his relationship with Team Canada. You know, I will tell you this: that this Capitals team didn't have a single player in that Four Nations tournament. The way that team was constructed, the guys who had the players who had backing either at the coaching staff level or in the general manager office of those teams, they had multiple players. Those teams had multiple players represented. You have to have someone on those national teams for your players to get chosen a lot of times. So I hope, for the Capitals' sake, that Carberry can get onto Team Canada's coaching staff, because there are a lot of good players in this team that deserve to be on national teams, and they just didn't get the time of day. I mean, how is Logan Thompson not on Team Canada? Look, Canada went on and won the whole thing, so you can't really, you know, complain too loudly about it. But, you know, I bet that first time that Canada played USA and all the fights broke out, I bet they wish they had Tom Wilson.
I was thinking you know? The same thing, dude.
So, JP, I don't know the answer to your question, but it wouldn't surprise me given the fact. I think Spencer's 43, and what he's done in such a short amount of time. I mean, 2 years, you know, got a meh team into the playoffs last year, flawed team, and then has taken a retooled team on the fly to the top of the league. I think he's starting to turn a lot of heads, and it's justified the Capitals' belief in him, right? He had never been an NHL head coach. He had been an assistant coach. He'd been a head coach in the minor leagues, but no one knew. You never know if someone can do it until they do it. And for the Capitals to go out and show the faith that they had in him, you know, they knew him as a coach, right? He was in their minor league system. But to give him that give him that job and say, hey, go do your thing, and then he delivered, I think it speaks volumes about the front office, too, understanding you know, that this is a talented guy that just needed his first break. Because, you know, a lot of times in pro sports, you guys know this, when you make decisions, you, as a GM or as an owner, you're trying to make the decision that doesn't have the most uncertainty. You're trying to make the safe pick, right? You're trying to play the odds. But sometimes you have to go outside of the bubble and make a bold move. And I think Carberry was kind of considered a bold move, and it's paid off in spades.
Talking with our friend Tariq El-Bashir here. You can watch all of his work on Monumental Sports Network. Follow him at Tariq_El-Bashir. Tariq joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. There was a moment in Wednesday's game, before we get to tonight's game against the Red Wings, there was a moment in Wednesday's game on the TNT broadcast that made some noise nationally. Now, of course, that moment was when they showed highlights of your son Kareem playing hockey. Well, how cool is that?
See, I used to always say you were the second best hockey player in your house. Now I know it.
You know, it's funny. I had nothing to do with that. I didn't even know it was happening. So, like, I started getting text messages from people going, "Hey, the boy's on national TV," and I was like, "Guys, this is what I do all the time. Like, you have noticed this?" They're like, "No, not you, dummy. You're the other one." I was like, "Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about, but cool. I got to go do an interview. Be right back." So I didn't really know what had happened until I got home, and yeah, very cool. I'm sure my son was entirely embarrassed to get that kind of attention, but you know, awesome. I very happy.
Good
for
stuff,
him.
Man. Good stuff.
He's a good player.
That was very cool. I do think the comments in the moment were wrong. Like, Ovechkin's clearly great, and I think I have decided to just kind of move forward, because I think the more attention or fuel that gets put on that fire, just kind of like, I don't know that Ovi's laughing at the joke, and I just want to keep it moving is kind of my thing.
You're talking about, what are you talking about, JP? Sorry.
You might not have even noticed this, dude, but the color analyst made a comment.
Oh, like, Darren Pang. Darren Pang thing. One trick pony. Sure, sure. Yeah, sorry. Again, you know, with my role, I'm only half listening to what's happening. I'm watching the ice, and I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it in the moment.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this: just knowing Darren, like, that's not, he wasn't being derogatory towards Ovi. You know, in my opinion, he was trying to make the point that, you know, he really can do different things now. At least that's the way, in listening to it after the fact, it came off to me. I know Darren, and I've worked with him for 3 years now. Like, he really appreciates Ovi's game.
Yeah.
And what he's doing right now. So I can also tell you, and you guys know this as well as anyone, when you talk for hours upon hours every day, sometimes you're going to say things that are misconstrued or don't come out the way you had intended.
I don't know nothing about that, Tar.
Yeah, exactly, B-Mitch. And definitely then with social media. And with social media now, then someone hears that one snippet, and then it becomes a thing, and then everyone's like, I don't know.
You said,
I give Panger a pass on that.
You said it, and Al said it as well, but I also know this by being in the media such a long time. When one thing you know probably could be misconstrued, don't keep saying it. Because it's been a thing with Canadian people, with Alex. Don't say it. I mean, if you're the guy that really respects him, you don't almost have to use that to talk about how good he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they were, you know, looking at, like, the graphics package that came right after what he said, like, I really don't feel like he was trying to be demeaning in any way. I mean, he's also been around, Panger's been around so long. Like, he wouldn't have said something in this moment with Ovi about to pull into, you know, about to take the top spot in what, the greatest record in NHL history. He isn't a controversial guy who's looking to be a lightning rod for something, you know. Gotcha. Like, he wasn't looking to make a name for himself. I think it was maybe said in a way that he probably regrets now.
Sure. Yeah.
And probably would have chosen different words.
Yeah. Talking with Tariq El-Bashir here, I did want to make a point. Tonight is Rock the Red night, right? It's they got the Red Wings coming to town. I know that they brought, like, Mike Green, Alsner, like, some guys are coming back.
I love Greeny. I don't see him enough. He's one of my favorite people.
Dude, what's crazy to think about is that era, the Rock the Red era, that was like right when everything kind of started to blow up with the Caps, right? Like all of a sudden, what was then probably Verizon Center was sold out every night, and it just became so much fun to go to Caps games. And the center of that, Alex Ovechkin, is still playing while they're going to do this 20-year celebration.
I know. It's insane. It really is insane. Is. I had a long sit-down with Alex before that Rangers game. And, you know, one of the questions I asked was, you know, a big component of what you're being able to do now and accomplish now is durability. Yeah, you missed 6 weeks this year with a broken leg, but that was the first serious injury you'd suffered. I was like, and people don't know behind the scenes how many injuries you played through. Right. And, you know, we get to see it. You know, we see the tape and the limp and the compression sleeve and all, and, you know, oh, he's unavailable because he has to go get this worked on. You know, the media and his teammates get to see. I said, why did you feel like you needed to suit up all the time? And he said, I didn't want to let my teammates down. You know, for me, it's about winning. And I couldn't look my teammates in the eye. If I was, even if I was able to suit up, I was going to suit up. And, you know, the fact that he has played for 20 years and didn't suffer his first major injury until this year is, to me, the most amazing thing. Because also, it's not like he plays like a fairy wand, you know, like he's playing like a sledgehammer, right? Like he's out there his entire, his every shift, he's just running people over. Now, maybe to a lesser extent now than before, but, you know, he played a very hard, heavy game, particularly early on in his career, and for him to you know, have show the durability that he is displayed for this many years, that to me, in addition to the goals, is amazing. And, you know, getting back to something you said at the start, JP, you know, one thing that's really, when this season is over, however it ends, that I am going to remember about this season was how the winning fueled Ovi and how Ovi fueled the winning. I'm not so sure Ovi will be sitting on 32 goals now if this team weren't as good as it is at his age, 39, going to be 40 in September. I think him getting, you know, and I think everyone agrees he's going to break this record this year, given the way he's playing right now. This team winning at the rate that it's winning has really pushed him to not only be dialed in and focused every night, but from an X's and O's standpoint, it's made sure that other teams had to focus on other players and couldn't just focus on shutting down eight and keeping him from scoring. So that relationship to me is always going to be something I think about when I remember this year.
Dude, it's totally symbiotic. And like, maybe that's obvious, but it's also been more than that. And that is 100% one of the reasons that makes this so special. And we'll see how far the ride goes. Dude, I know you're busy. I really appreciate you carving out 20 minutes on trade deadline day. And I'll see you tonight, bud.
Sounds good. See you guys.
All right, man.
That's our guy, Tarik El-Bashir. Give him a follow at Tarik_El-Bashir. One of the best in the hockey business, man. Great at what he does. Make sure you watch all his work on Monumental Sports Network. When we get back, let's figure out what this John Allen release does to the Commander's salary cap. Nobody go anywhere. Phone lines at 1. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Shout out to our boy Mike from Pupatella, the pizza spot. I mean, it is fantastic. That margarita is fantastic. Dude told me that their ovens are flown in from Mount Vesuvius, and they get fresh cheese every week.
Every day.
That's attention to detail, man.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't had Pupatella pizza, you should. It is damn good. They just opened a new spot, 3rd and Mass.
And Mike, I found a number in my phone. I'm going to use it often.
3rd and Mass right there by the Supreme Court. Fired up now to maybe somebody that can shed a little light on something that bothered me and B-Mitch this morning. Smoking Al Koken, Caps coverage of Monumental Sports Network, a true D.C. sports institution. What up, Smoke? How are you?
Appreciate the intro music, gentlemen. A little Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. Right in my wheelhouse. I love it. Thank you.
What up, Smoke?
Hey, B, how you doing?
Man, I'm good, brother.
How are you, dude? How much fun are you having with this cap season?
JP, you know what it's like covering a team on a day-to-day basis, and these guys and this coaching staff has made my job among the most – enjoyable seasons I've ever had with this team. A great group of guys, and the newcomers have fit in immediately. They've all been great to deal with, and it's been a pleasure to kind of watch them get themselves together early, dominate, and now trying to figure out how to get back into a good playing rhythm, even though they look at the standings every morning, for those who do. They're 12 points up. They're not really being challenged. And it's a great battle that the coaches have right now. And Brian can certainly appreciate this. When you got a comfortable lead, but you're not playing your best, as a coach, when is it time to really kind of crack the whip? And when do you kind of still have to back off, express my concerns, but back off? And that's, I think, what we're seeing right now with Spencer Carberry, although I know he liked what he saw last night, particularly in that third period.
Yeah, last night.
He's been good, man.
I mean, it's similar, like, against Ottawa, they got out to the big lead and kind of coughed it up. Last night, they had to fight their way back. It's got to be hard for them to really lock in when they're so far ahead in the East and even in the division. But I do think beating the Rangers always carries a little bit more juice.
And I think the way they got it done last night, yeah, they were trailing, but there was, I think it was like one of the first plays of the third period, and there was this drop pass to nobody, and I'm at home watching this going, oh God, not this. And then from that point on, they locked in, and they were the dominant team. And when you look at it, JP and B, they only allowed the Rangers in regulation 16 shots on goal. Now, this is a Ranger team, much like the teams they've been playing lately, St. Louis, Calgary, two teams they lost to, who are desperate for points, trying to cling to a playoff spot. So you would expect a better effort out of the home team in that regard, and I think it speaks a little bit to exactly what the Capitals were doing last night defensively, and then they found a way to get it done. Number 8, who else gets it done to tie the game? And then just a spectacular play in overtime between Dylan Strome, who's having another spectacular season, and Tom Wilson, who, if you're not still one of those idiots who just see him as a one-note player, but you've actually opened your eyes to watch how good this guy is at so many different things. It just was just a perfect finish to what I thought was a really good third period and ending to that game.
He has 28 goals this year, Al.
Willie.
Yeah. 28 goals.
I mean, so people could get over that about, well, he's just, just going out there and beat people up. The dude could play hockey.
Well, it's interesting. Go ahead, please, Al.
No, I was going to say, and you watch him on the penalty kill. You watch him on the power play. I mean, he's used in all roles. They just don't throw him out there like the Rangers are doing with the Matt Rempe kid, although he had a couple of very nice plays last night. He's a complete hockey player. And for those who just think of him as strictly that one-note guy, that he's just out there to throw his weight around and drop the gloves, then you just haven't been paying attention, or you're just an obstinate fool. Because this guy has turned himself into a true top six all-purpose hockey player. That's one of the reasons why there were people saying, if Team Canada had lost at Four Nations, they would have been rowing the dead that they didn't bring Tom Wilson onto that team.
And I think the whole thing about it, everybody has a person like that on their team. He just happened to be much better at hockey than some of those guys are.
And let's be also honest, too. He really has kind of been asked not to do the fighting as much anymore because he's too valuable to the team. So you got guys like Brandon Duhaime stepping up last night, Matt Roy, his first NHL fight. All guys taking different roles on.
Talking with our friend Al Kokin, you can watch his coverage of the Capitals on Monumental Sports Network. Give him a follow on X at Real Smokin' Al. All right, Smoke, you use the term, not a one-note player, describing Tom Wilson. There's a little controversy last night on the TNT broadcast. Darren Pang, I think he was trying to make a point of saying Ovechkin has evolved from being a one-trick pony that just scores from
That's
the office.
That's not what he said.
But it's not what he said. And I do think...
I know.
I think it's largely Canadian. I still think there's a weird bias out there against Ovi, and these dudes get really defensive about Gretzky.
Well, I will say this because, listen, I can't say that I'm best of friends with Darren, but we talk all the time when I see him. Mm-hmm. Much like your partner there, JP, he's an outstanding golfer. He's got the club championship at Meadowbrook in St. Louis. He plays all the time, much like your partner.
Yes.
I know Darren did not mean what it came out to sound like. I know that people are up in arms about it, but knowing Darren the way I do and knowing the appreciation, we just had a long conversation when he was in the other day working for TNT about what he, you know, what a marvel he thinks this Capitals team is, how much fun he has watching him. And he's always been an Ovechkin fan. He's always been a guy who's marveled at Ovechkin. You heard the little interchange with him and last night. There was Vincent Trocheck and Ovi something about what they put in your leg, and Ovi didn't hear it, and Darren kind of said they get along very well. So I agree with you. I think he was trying to make a point quite the opposite of what it came out to be, but I understand now people are up in arms and it'd be like more disrespect. But hey, if it gets people fired up on the Capitals team,
go for it.
Better than ever, right?
Sure.
Go for it, right? What was that Michael Jordan documentary all about? Perceived slights.
Yeah.
Right? guys who didn't say anything wrong, but Michael said, well, I'm going to show him, right? Well,
right.
Good. So, Ovi, if you think you're being slighted, get your 10 in the next 4 games.
Sure.
I like it. I don't know if you heard the Junks this morning, but the dude Darren called into the Junks and he said, he's like, the last thing I was trying to say was that it did seem like he was trying to give a little too much credit to Carberry for like igniting this fire in Ovechkin,
right.
When
yeah.
Ovechkin's
right.
been a fantastic
man,
been
like that his whole damn career.
Yeah. Now he's evolved, right? He's become a better defender. He's become lots of things, but
yeah,
it's always the player.
Yeah. And Barry Trotz was really the guy that kind of got him to understand if you're going to achieve championship level, it can't just be being a one-trick pony. You can't just base your entire worth on, I'm a great goal scorer, I'm going to lead the league every year in goals scored, I'll eventually become the greatest goal scorer. But at some point, and that's the reason why you can put him out there when the net is empty. They're not doing that because it's just, hey, Alex, this is our way of saying thanks, go out and score another empty net goal. You got to be able to understand, read the play, block a shot if you have to, get into a shooting lane if you have to, and then you can be rewarded with that empty net goal. So he's evolved in that regard. Guarantee you, no coach who's trying to win a hockey game is going to put a one-trick pony out there in a one-goal hockey game.
And I think that's why he has so many of those empty net goals, because he did the things you stated. So I just think people, they do have a bias in a certain sense, but the whole ultimate thing, dude's been good since you and Coach took me over to Kettler, okay? That's how long he's been good. That was how long ago? You know what I mean?
Right. You started in 2005, and it's been, or 2006, it's been the same ever since.
Yes,
yeah.
So, now, I mean.
And here's the other thing that I've always been amazed about, and particularly if it comes from the Canadian side of things. Is there any more of a North American player than Alexander Ovechkin? What do Canadians love? Guys who get in there and rough and tumble and go into the corners and bang people and send them through the glass? Well, that's what he did on his very first shift. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Very first shift of his very first game at Capital One, now Capital One Arena. Goes behind the net, takes Radoslav Suchy of the Columbus Blue Jackets and just absolutely blows him up, and then scores 2 goals, including one of his one-timers from the office. And you're like, okay, well, gentlemen, I just showed you my resume for the next 20 years. How many do you think, right? So he's been the most, quote-unquote, North American European player I've ever seen, and that's why it's beyond me why he would get criticism from people who applaud toughness and hits and grit. And he'd rather run through you than around you, and that's exactly what all these Canadian, you know, hockey mavens always talk about great hockey players being. Well, he's been that way from day one.
Absolutely. We're talking with our friend Al Kokin here. You can follow him on X at Real Smokin' Al. Al joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You can watch all of Al's Caps coverage on Monumental Sports Network. As this thing looks ahead here, and tomorrow night I think there is this Rock the Red celebration at Cap One Arena with the Red Wings coming to town.
does
Rock the Red Era. Yeah.
Rock the Red Era. Sorry.
Yep.
It's really wild to think, like, as a show of his greatness, the Rock the Red Era was probably mid early 2000s. And they're celebrating it because it's been 20 years. But Ovi was the linchpin of that, too.
Right.
Like, when Rock the Red became a thing, it was Mike Green, it was a lot of people, but it was Ovi driving that bus, and he's still playing and driving the bus.
And all the other guys that were there, the quote-unquote young guns, right? Nick, Ovi, Mike Green, Alexander Semin. They're all basically out of hockey, unfortunately for Nick with the long-term injury. But, you know, Mike Green's been gone now, 5 years? Alexander Semin hasn't been here for well beyond that. Mm-hmm. And there it is at 39 years old, still cranking it out and doing it day in and day out. I mean, yeah, you're right. That is the amazing part of it and the longevity. Until this year, until the broken leg, he'd miss a game here, a game there, but never any kind of length of time. And this was the first time in his unbelievable career that ever happened to him. And yet he bounces back, and most guys would take forever to get back to being what he was before he left. He's picked right up. It would have wondered to kind of, you know, if there was some sort of biometric that they could have, you know, figured out on terms of why this guy is so unique. Because let's also be honest, gentlemen, and he has fun with it. He gets on the charter flight with a Subway sub and a bag of Flaming Cheetos. So we know this is not exactly because he's eating, whole milk and like Jeff Chychrun Chychrun is kind of like, he's very much of a whole foods person, including like raw and things like that. So he's not Jeff Chychrun. He's not Brooks Orpik, who was notorious for, if he saw any one of these young kids picking up a Coca-Cola, he'd give them that death stare and they'd put it down immediately. So Ovi is not that guy. We understand that. And that's what makes this even more amazing and actually enjoyable, because he's more relatable in that regard. He's not just some cyborg.
I think the thing that you said about he has fun with it, that's the main thing. What I noticed from the first time I saw him to now, the dude has fun on the ice. A lot of people get older and they start to make this thing seem like it's a job. He's still playing the game that he played all his life. And I think that there makes it even easier for him.
And, Brian, you know, you talk to all these new guys, and when you hear the new guys always get interviewed, and, you know, one of the first things they always get asked is, what's it like playing now with Alex Ovechkin? And immediately they always talk about how much fun he has, how much fun he makes the group have when he's around. You know, so there's different ways of being a captain, right? I mean, you know the different styles of guys who can give you the death stare like Brooke Orpik can, or the guys who lead by example. And Ovi's always been a lead by example guy. But you also have to have an environment that allows seven new faces, as the Capitals had to start the season, to come in and immediately feel comfortable. Well, who sets the tone for that? It's your captain and your leadership group. And if there's a click, if there's a group of, you know, hey, we've been here forever, you're just a newcomer, you better fit in, as opposed to, hey, can't wait to have you join us on the ice, great to have you here. That type of welcoming immediately was felt by all of these newcomers, and that's why there's been such a seamless transition with all these new faces and how they've quickly fit in and then translated into how much fun they're having being a Washington Capital. Well, who sets the tone for that? Your captain does that, and that's exactly what he's been from day one.
Like when I first met JP, took him out with me, bought him a couple glasses of wine, and then made him drink some tequila. I broke him in properly, you know what I'm saying, Al?
Exactly. Like you and me and Mr. Davis back in the day, right?
There you go.
All right. Our friend Smokin' Al joining us right now, Al Kokin, Monumental Sports Network. You can follow him at Real Smokin' Al for all of his Caps coverage. Joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. All right, Smoke, we did a draft in the office when we think Ovi's going to break the record.
I'm winning.
The numbers are nice and round now. They got 20 games left, and he needs 10. When do you think this happens?
I've been wavering on this because, unfortunately, by doing this for as long as I've done this, year 40 now, my hockey brain tries to take over my heart. And my heart says, your hockey brain has never seen anybody like Alexander Ovechkin. My hockey brain says, come on, nobody's going to get 10 goals in their final 20 games when everybody's clamping down. And yet my head says, wait a minute, you've been watching Alexander Ovechkin now for going on 20 years. If anybody can do this, it's going to be him. And he may not need all 20 games to do it. He may be able to get it in 16 games. He got a goal last night in a very tight checking game. I'm going, isn't there a game April 4th, if I'm not mistaken?
April 4th. That's Mitch's pick.
Okay, I'm going April 4th.
All right. Wow. See, man, I know we think alike.
I got
April 1st and 4th. So we got two games each.
I got March 30th.
I'm going for
against the Sabres. Ooh. But then I also got, I think I got the season finale against the Pens in Pittsburgh.
We get to do that game. Unfortunately, a lot of these other games are being taken away from us.
Dude, I hope you know how much I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of all Caps fans here. We hate it. We want you. We want Joe B. We want Mayday, Alexa, Johnny, like Tarek. We want the Caps coverage that we love night in, night out. I'd love, personally, if Locker's back for it, but we understand Locker's got to take care of Locker first. But speaking on behalf of Caps fans, Smoke, I hate that you guys won't get to be on this call.
I made a suggestion, though, Smoke, that you all do an altcast. Turn off the national people and just listen to the local people. That'd be great.
I tell you what, there's been a lot of chatter about that, guys, about, you know, trying to do it. I know the people of Monumental have worked really hard to at least allow us to get that last game, and then we've got a side-by-side that we're going to get to do as well, which the national game does theirs, we get to do ours. So, you know, the National Hockey League has tried to help. But listen, we also understand, the reality of it.
Dollars,
when ESPN and TNT strokes multi-million dollar checks, you know, they're going to protect their own rights, but they've tried to work with us in that regard. But I couldn't agree with you more. I talked to Locker recently. He's sounding much better than the first time I talked to him. So he's rapidly improving. And we know we want Joe's voice making that record-breaking call. We want Locker to chime in on how it happened. And I'd love to be the guy then on the bench at the star of the game interview to get to talk to him about what's it like now being the all-time greatest goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League. So I hope we all get a piece of this, but whatever is going to happen in terms of the broadcast, I can tell you, you can really see too. And knowing Alex the way I have over the years, he hates talking about himself. He hates, you know, talking about these records. He loves talking about it pretty much anything else. I did something recently that I hope people go to the Capitals YouTube channel to actually watch. It was a sit down with Ovi and Mike Gardner, and the two of them interacting, two of the greatest goal scorers, not only in the history of the game, but in the history of Washington. The way they interacted with each other, that's when Ovi's at his best, when there's like another player there, particularly somebody he respects like Mike. And I'd love everybody to watch that conversation because it's really, really good. But I know that Ovi wants this over. He doesn't want to spend the summer and doesn't want to spend the beginning of next year talking about it. And that's why I kind of think about Ovi defying hockey logic and saying, I don't care what it's taking, I'm getting this done before we are out of here this year.
I think that happens, man. Smoke, last thing I wanted to tell you this. So I was gifted some dope tickets by my boy Sonny for that Tampa game last Saturday, and we were next to the bench, and my 9-year-old is locked in. She's Charlie Lindgren's now her favorite player because she got to sit next to him the whole game. And we see guys coming on and off the ice. My 9-year-old's totally locked in. My 6-year-old's sitting on my lap, and she's not as locked in. We'll say it kindly like that. And so I'm trying to keep her interested. And she's like, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? And then she points over to the bench. She's like, who's that? I was like, that's Smokin' Al. She's like, I like Smokin' Al.
Hey, Al, if she likes you, you're cool because you don't like many people.
I tell you what.
Tough nut to crack.
I don't know if there are 6-year-olds with that good a taste.
Very much. Smoke, thank you for making time for us,
take care, brother.
Always good talking to you guys. Thanks so much.
All right, man.
That's our guy, Al Kokin. People have no idea how funny and cool Smokin' Al is.
Al's cool, man.
Yeah. Oh, we just had a collision. Peter Rosenberg joins us next.
The third and final story we've got to hit right off the top here, because this is just one of those days in DC sports, man.
Mm-hmm.
Things are happening. We're moving and shaking in town. Charlie Lindgren got a 3-year extension from the Capitals.
Hey, Chucky.
3 years, $9 million, so $3 million per. He's going to be their backup goaltender to Logan Thompson. By the way, Thompson is signed, sealed, and delivered, and so is Lindgren, so at under $9 million for the next 3 years now. They've got their goaltending battery sewed up and delivered. Love that. They got him done at a lesser rate than what was being rumored. I was a little skeptical about paying him upwards of $4 million to be a backup goalie, but he's proven now over 2 years he's very good. If you remember back to last year, he had a 267 goals against. He led them to the playoffs. He stood on his head down the stretch, had a 911 save percentage. He hasn't been quite as good this year, 898 save percentage, but very similar 27 goals against. He's proven that that was not a mirage. This is a 31-year-old guy who over the last three seasons in the NHL ranks in the middle of the league, basically, 16th in save percentage, 17th in goals against. And he's their backup. He's their number two, and they've locked him in as basically a top 15-ish goaltender in the entire league behind Thompson, who right now is the best goalie in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, he's shown that he can start if needed, obviously. And I think maybe, I don't see how he outkicked his coverage last year, but I think it's been an unfair regression at times. I don't know how much, you know, if you go goal by goal, how many soft ones, how many are his fault. You know, a couple puck handling mishaps led to some goals that had nothing to do with shots faced, etc. But yeah, I mean, to me, this is one of those great culture guy. You reward, though, I think signings like this go a long way. This is like kind of a Jeremy Reeves sort of thing. Better player here in terms of equivalence. But all he's ever done is what he's supposed to do. Showed up, outworked his previous contract, turned in great work, and then look up and say, okay, what do I get? And you sign him. You lock guys like that up. I think that goes a long way in the locker room.
Two major factors to consider here. One, the NHL salary cap's going up massively. Mm-hmm. The salary cap, rather. It's going up huge, a historical amount this offseason. So I think that is a consideration here where they felt like even if you're spending almost $9 million on two goalies, no problem. We got the money, and they're going to be in a really good financial spot even after getting that done. And then number two, in this era of the NHL, so when you hear he's their backup goalie, you think, oh, he just sits there and watches Thompson. You basically alternate games.
It's not the 80s anymore where guys get 15 to 20 starts.
So literally you'll go, I call it boy, girl, but it's A, B, A, B, A, B throughout the majority of the season, even – you know, not just on back-to-back. So if, you know, Thompson plays on Tuesday, Lindgren's going to play on Thursday, Thompson's going to go. And then as you wind down the season, you start to lock in on your number one. And so Thompson will play a lot more down the stretch. And then in the playoffs, he would play every single game, theoretically, is how you would do it. In the end, over 82 games, the ratio is probably something like 45 to 37 starts, or maybe closer to like, you know, 50 to 32, but not even quite to that extent. It's probably like a 60-40 split in terms of your starting goalies. Mm-hmm. So that's why having a number two is a really, really important thing in this NHL, and the Caps now have it. So kudos to them getting into the news party today with the extension of Lindgren. Now just get Jacob Chychrun done, please.
That's a nice appetizer. Give me the main dish.
You know, the Grant and Danny regular?
Oh.
Who we'll have on the show every single Wednesday for the rest of the season.
Same guy?
Thanks to our friends at IT Cadre. Who scores goals all the time from the blue line, top three among defensemen in goals scored.
Yeah.
Sign that guy to a big extension.
I'd like to do that.